Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for listening to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. We got a really cool show for you today. We're going to mix it up today for you. In the studio with me right now is my assistant producer. Say hello to Yasmin Abadira.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, this is Yasmin. You'll learn more about her, but a quick little background. She's Australian born with a Sri Lankan heritage. Very multi-talented, as we all are here in Hollywood. Singer, actor, writer, producer. We're having a lot of fun here. We've been doing this a couple weeks together. It's going really well. She has a degree, a musical theater degree from the National Theater in Melbourne, Australia. So there you'll hear that voice. Awesome. And a previous recording artist with the record label Vicious. And one other thing out there you need to note is she's a black belt in Taekwondo. Oh, shit. So that's why she could kick my ass at any time.
Yeah. So, I'll just take my black belt off and beat you with it.
Yeah, that's it. You wearing a black belt today? Oh, no.
No.
We're going to have some fun. So we thought in lieu of a typical guest here, Yasmin's going to come on from time to time, and we'll just talk shop. So along the way, she'll kind of get involved here. And let's talk a little bit more about today. It's Movie Monday. You know, I love Movie Mondays. Yasmin, I will say she stood me up yesterday on her. What happened over there? I mean, it's Movie Monday, so every Sunday I go to watch a movie. This time it was The Identical. Wait to hear about this film. But so, you know, I said, hey, let's have a date. We'll go to lunch. We could talk about it. So with Movie Monday, we're tuned in. So what happened? Blew me off.
I had an actual date.
An actual date. Oh, no. Is this one of those L.A. dates where you go to the place, you start drinking at noon and the Bloody Marys? And
I mean, it was definitely a brunch-ish date, and might have been a Bloody Mary or two.
A Bloody Mary or two. Hey, have you ever seen an Australian and Aussie have one or two drinks? Come on. No, so is this a first date, or is this?
I mean, I would prefer not to comment on my love life on the air, if that's okay.
I see. Okay. So we're not going to go there.
Just in case they're all listening.
Well, they're all, is it plural in the past tense or current?
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we're not going to go there. I don't want to, very, very attractive woman here, folks. So I don't know. We'll talk more about the whole dating thing. We have a dating relationship. We booked a relationship specialist for next week. That's right. Jennifer.
That'll be fun.
That's going to be fun. I think she's going to try to fix me. Well, I don't think there's anything. Well, maybe she'll have to fix you with the numerous.
Hey, I'm good.
You're good. Yep. Well, we'll see about that. Occasionally, I'm going to try to slip something in there, guys, and get some more info. All right, but we are going to talk about The Identical. Wait to hear about this film. We'll talk about it. You know, I give the one thumbs, two thumbs, or three thumbs up. So wait on that. We'll let you know. And also,
I'm really looking forward to it, actually.
I want to know. Yeah, you don't want. And I was going to buy everything. It was going to be a great day, working day. Well, I guess brunch is more important with a date.
Next.
I didn't have a date. I was alone.
Oh. Now I feel bad.
Yeah, you feel bad. All right. She came in smiling this morning, so that date probably went through the evening. Is that one of those 12-hour dates?
I mean, I don't pay much attention to time. Uh-huh. I'm not very linear.
She got here on time today, so, well, with a smile on her face.
Next topic, Rich.
Yeah, let's go. Let's thank who you know, actually good friend of Yasmin's, London Thor. Was she awesome Friday?
Oh, she's amazing. She's the real deal, that kid.
She's the real deal. If you didn't hear that show, go listen to that show. She performed two songs. Her brother Ace over here with the guitar. She played at the Hotel Cafe, and we were both there Saturday night. Right? What a cool vibe.
Great vibe, and it was lovely that she took in money for a charity. What was the charity?
Yeah, the Wounded Warriors Foundation. So, all the money went to the veterans.
Yeah, she packed the place, and it's such a great venue, and the vibe was just awesome. It's so great to see people coming together to hear live music and support indie artists.
Absolutely. And that's what the Hotel Cafe is all about. If you don't know it, it's a cool place. Check it out on Cahuenga in Hollywood. It definitely supports indie artists, and they have various artists that come up and play. it was a great time. So it was a good seeing her with a little band there too was good, because she played here acoustically on Friday. So check it out in the archives, latalkradio.com/Tola, you know my name, .php. And Yasmin, how about this heat, right? Got to say something about, was it like 5 days? We're going to 5 days straight, folks, of over 100 degree weather here in Los Angeles.
I think we hit 106 yesterday in the valley, and it was fantastic.
Oh, you love it because of the Sri Lankan heritage, right? Oh,
yeah. Wow. I just want to be in this weather all the time and in my bikini. I can't come to work in my bikini.
No, bikinis. I think that's what all the other folks do on that porn show or whatever.
You don't want to get mixed up in that.
You might go into the wrong room, and who knows what they're doing
over
there.
What if I wore a tie? Like, this is smart.
Well,
tie.
I think they like that tie. You know, they would definitely put some, like, if she wore these black glasses, the librarian glasses, guys, forget about it. With the hair up, and then you drop it down. She got that gorgeous hair.
Let's not choreograph it.
Yeah. No, really, it's been, for anybody who's paying attention, the record for September in Los Angeles is 112 degrees. Now, we're definitely, as Yasmin said yesterday, 106. Feels like a sauna, right? Mm. You just walk outside. It's a five-day spell. It's supposed to break on Tuesday. So, hey, but everybody out there, you know, don't feel sorry for us. You know, in January, the low is 68 degrees. Well, not at night, but I guess the high is average of 68. But we get anywhere from 68 to 88 on average, so this is the best weather in the world.
I think as an Australian, the one thing that I can say or recommend is sunscreen, folks. Let's take care of our skin, not only because the sun ages us ladies of LA, but I think it's just really important to take care of your skin, prevent against cancer.
Absolutely.
Just do the right thing. Take care of yourself. Drink lots of water, lots of sunscreen when you're out in the sun.
No doubt, and there's no question, because you want to stay looking young. No question, especially
absolutely.
In this town. Everybody wants to stay way young. And hey, how about her? 17 years old. I mean, she has the maturity of like someone who's in her 30s.
Yeah, it's London. Like she swallowed a 60-year-old.
Yeah, she did. And what I liked about her, you know, she said it was a choice that she made, you know, the drugs and the alcohol, and then they're not boozers. It's like, hey, she makes a choice. Sure, there's a little bit of pressure at times from the kids her age, but so what? Hey, guys, if you don't want to be partying with everybody, don't do it.
Yeah, I think what's great is that London's attitude to it all is, I don't have time. I don't have time to drink. I'm too busy living my life.
Living life, which
is great. I'm too busy having fun. You know, exactly. and creating and all that kind of stuff. And I think that a lot of adults could really take a leaf out of her book, you know?
Yeah, and she's, feel the smiling energy. You know, people, you have to be feeling good about yourself. You have to smile. And if you're out there pursuing it, not missing moments, as she said, she doesn't want to miss moments. So if you're not missing moments, then enjoy. Yeah. That's a whole yoga thing, stay present. But it's more than that.
That transcends into life, and definitely it's a part of acting, of just staying present. Stay present in your life. Stay present in the moment. And, you know, not burying yourself in a bottle is a good way to do that. You know?
Which we're going to find out a lot of as we segue into. It's amazing how, right? Yasmin and I talk about the show. You know how we prepare as we get together here and we go through. It's kind of cool. You know, I don't know if anyone experienced this in your lifetime, whether it's a TV show, web series, whatever. If you're a creator, you know, it's good to kind of bounce things off. So we go over these ideas, and it's like she just, like said today, is like another boozer story. Like, how many boozer stories do we see people doing stupid shit?
I mean, how many stories do we have to talk about until people kind of correlate that with, oh, shit, maybe if I didn't drink so much.
Or, oh, I used to, or, you know. No, when you're drinking, guys, you have to understand. I mean, no question, if you're drinking and you're getting drunk and it's a purpose. I used to do that back in the New York days. We used to go out on a Saturday. Good news is you're in New York City, so you stumble down the street, stumble back. We had all the beer. They had to close that deal. It's a bar that had all the wings, chicken wings, and all the beer you could drink for like $20. It was insane. We bring 10 guys and they would be out of business. So they end up shutting that deal down. No, but I mean, if you're clearly going out to get loaded, I went to a party over the weekend. I don't know if I told you this. No, I didn't tell you this.
I didn't tell you this.
I did go
now
to a party.
I'm feeling all bad that I stood you up at the movie. Like, you had no friends this weekend.
Well, this weekend was interesting. I mean, I went to a surprise birthday party. Well, I guess I could say. I think he was like 25, 26. You know, I just seemed to kind of, I knew a lot of people in their 20s, and they were playing this beer pong, right? I never played that. That was not one of my games. But they set it up. I didn't know, like, the whole, the cues, the balls, and, you know, they're shooting pool.
Right.
So it's like throwing them in. But, like, this game, if you got it in, then I think, like, all four guys had to drink. It was like they had a couple cases
like
of
power beer pong.
Power beer pong. I'm like thinking they really want to get wasted quick. Yeah. So I'm not kidding you. One guy gets it in. I'm like, why is everybody? Well, that's just a new rule. Okay.
Well, that's not really the rules. It's just let's just get everyone drunk.
Let's get everyone drunk. Yeah, but it was fun. The good news is when you go to a place like that, the good energy, they had good energy. You know, there was no trouble. I don't know, no brawls. We'll talk about stories. No fighting. No Palin family stories. So I kind of liked that. It was like well-behaved guys that kind of had their shit together. It wasn't about, but that game was definitely prevalent. But I did check it out. Check out a party like this weekend. So here we go. Why don't we go around the globe with the latest news that's strange but true. Okay, and here we go. This is strange but true. Starting off with, I'm calling this the modern day Dirty Harry. Anybody hear about this? In Houston, Texas. Okay, quote, this is from a convenience store owner who moved actually from New York to Houston to open this 3 years ago. I had to protect my family. Right, you're probably laughing. Why would you move from New York to Houston?
I'm just thinking he obviously wanted the quiet life in comparison.
He wants the quiet life, so get this. He ends up killing a robber in a gunfight in his store. Now, we're talking about they had a history of violence in the past 3 years since the store opened. But on Friday night, it was an uneventful evening, they said, until a masked gunman at 10 o'clock at night comes in, threatens his sister at the cash register. I mean, what the hell is this guy thinking? Okay, so the Usman Seth is this 24-year-old guy who says, I wanted to make the threat go away. Right. So his father hands him a 9mm Smith & Wesson. I mean, that's what Dirty Harry used, the Smith & Wesson. I'm sure it's a 9mm. They open fire, okay?
Wait a minute. So there's three people behind the counter now and the one gunman. Is that right?
On the other side, yeah. And the gunman went up to a Dr. Pepsi, a big plate, you know, where they're distributing the little cans, so a machine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he sort of found a little hole, cubby hole there, and he's like shooting back at the guy. So they'd like literally have a gunfight. He shoots the guy in the leg. The robber gets hit in the leg and he returns fire. Little gunfight, don't know how many shots. And this guy, Seth, Mr. Seth over there, ends up hitting him again and kills him. I mean, it's like they're really shooting at each other. Yeah, awesome. There you go. Yeah. Okay, my family, their lives were in my hands. Okay, this is what this guy said. Now, I don't know. Yasmin, were you around for this in 1984 in New York City?
I was three.
Okay. So. Wow, okay, putting it right out there. Now we know how old you are. What's that, 34?
33. Oof. Easy, Tiger.
Easy. Oh, my God. She's 3 years old. So check this out. Anybody remembers this? I clearly remember this. I was, a senior year in my University of Pennsylvania, but I knew about this. This was 3 days before Christmas on December 22nd, 1984. Bernie Goetz. Anybody know that story? New York City subway. He shot four young black men who tried to mug him. Okay, he fired five shots. He seriously wounded all four of them. And it took him 9 days later, he turned himself in. And the jury, I mean, he was on all sorts of counts, found him not guilty on all charges except one count for carrying an unlicensed firearm, which he got a year sentence for, but he only served 8 months. I mean, this was wild. I remember that. Here's a guy who felt he was threatened. I mean, he was in a corner, backed into a corner, came out shooting. What's he doing with a gun? Okay, you're not allowed to have a gun in New York anyway. Now, check this out. 1996, years later, one of the guys, and I remember this, he became a paraplegic, sad, but brain-damaged paraplegic who obtained a civil judgment against Bernie Goetz for $43 million. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's never collected any of that money, but there's been all sorts of debates about self-defense, right? You defend yourself. So what about this guy? He's getting shot out. He's threatened his family. I mean, shouldn't he fight back?
Are you asking my opinion?
I'm asking your opinion, yeah, from the Aussies over there.
I mean, the thing is that down under, we don't really do stuff like that. We don't pull guns. If we're unhappy with something that someone said, we just tend to, you know, egg their car or something like that. Or, you know.
Egg their car. Yeah. I like that. Or Justin just like, Bieber style.
Yeah, or we just like flip him the bird.
And that's it. Move that's on. It. Yeah, you don't have waste any more time with.
No, I also think, you know, basically, I'm not going to get into the whole weapons debate because there are so many different sides, and I just don't feel as though anyone is educated enough on the topic and the laws in this country to be able to talk about it. But here's the thing. A guy pulls a gun. If you don't feel like he's going to shoot and you feel like you can just give him the money from the register and he'll go away, just give him the money, man.
I agree.
Like, you know, so now all of a sudden someone's injured, this kid's dead, like, and this kid has a mother. He probably has children. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. No, and this kid, by the way, this young man came into the store about 30 minutes before. So was clearly staking out because he recognized the guy. And then the next day, which is even worse, because it just propels, right? Saturday morning, the brother of the boy who was killed came in and he threatened revenge.
Awesome. Let's just keep it going.
Right. One bad deed after the next, right? It's like, let's reward some stupidity. I mean, first of all, your brother goes in there with a mask, with a gun, armed robbery. Right then and there, guys, this isn't like, you know, Butch Cassidy and his Sundance Kid. You're going to get shot. If you're carrying a gun and you're out there brandishing that gun and threatening people's lives, so you definitely have to know. You cannot be an idiot. You need to know that there's a chance that someone's going to shoot at you.
I suppose the thing is that you shouldn't raise a gun unless you're willing to use it. And you shouldn't raise a gun unless you're willing to understand that someone else has probably got one too. I don't know, the whole thing.
Or is going to one-up you.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You're raising something, you're raising a knife, you got to be prepared to be one-up with a gun. You raise a gun, they're going to have a bazooka.
It's not going to work. Stupidity runs in the family, doesn't it?
No, it's unbelievable. You know, now the kids run back revenge. Come on, people. Come on, get together out here. We all live on the same damn planet, which we're ruining by the minute.
Yeah.
But more importantly, there we go back to the concept of respect. I mean, forget about it. Okay, you need the money. Okay, we all get that. Everybody needs money. But society is not meant for you to put on a mask and get a gun and threaten to kill people and start shooting at people. You are going to get shot dead. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to feel, you know, like the Bernie Getz. You said to yourself, well, this guy was threatened. He thought he was going to get killed. What was he to do?
Yeah.
And he responded. And people responded by saying, no, it's okay. We got to let you go. Well, let's not keep the talk about that, but let's talk about the superhero brawl. Now, this, no doubt, if you've been to New York City, whoever's been to New York City, you've been to Times Square. Now, Times Square has changed a lot. No, of course, I've been going to Times Square 35 years. I can recall memories of Times Square. So this is recent, and Times Square is pretty clean. But check this out. Superheroes, two costumed characters. We're talking Batman and Spider-Man. we got Batman, not Superman, it's Batman and Spider-Man. Okay, these costume characters were at Times Square arrested. They were arrested Saturday night along with the third man for allegedly fighting. All right.
Who's the third man?
Yeah, here's this other jackass, 23-year-old Thomas Rourke. He's this guy who started all the trouble. Here we go. Loaded, of course. Now, these guys are hustlers, right?
So he was drunk man.
He's a drunk man. Yeah, we got a superhero brawl with a drunk man because the drunk man started it. So these guys are hustling. Hey, have you ever been to anybody come to Hollywood? Go to Hollywood Boulevard. There's under the sun. Marilyn Monroe's there. Everybody's there. Take your pictures. So these guys,
It's actually Marilyn's birthday today.
It is Marilyn. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Marilyn.
Happy birthday. You going to sing that song?
Absolutely not.
You're the one with the lungs. That's not my repertoire. Singer's not on my resume. No. So here we go. We got these two, Batman and Spider-Man. And these two guys, two other men, one of them, this guy Thomas Rourke, started screaming and yelling at them. But then Rourke goes over and grabs Batman from behind. It's 40... from behind. 41.
Never grab Batman
from
behind.
You don't go me do it's Jose Martinez, Mr. Batman, okay? And he shouts, I'm not gonna say F you Batman. Like, you know, what's this jackass doing? Then he grabs Spider-Man, who's the 35-year-old, Abdel Akazari. You know, forget about the names, it doesn't matter, but he grabs him on the ass. Now, it's unbelievable but the Spider-Man, this guy Abdel, he actually had a rap sheet, been arrested a few times, but he starts shooting his silly string, the webs at the guy, and he starts punching him.
Silly string.
He had silly string, yeah. They said he had this like web thing, he had his spider senses tingling, and then boom. And then they said they beat the crap out of this guy Rourke, who was quote-unquote drunk.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We have Batman and Spider-Man joining forces against drunk man.
Exactly.
This is like Times Square.
For all to see. I mean, I don't know how many people had their little cameras running.
This is like a nerd's kind of wet dream, I think. It's amazing. They'd be super excited, like the actual battle.
Oh, they would forget about it. No, there's been six different videos now turning it into a short film. They're going to be putting that into film festivals. Watch.
Next year, Batman
right.
And
slow-mo.
Spider-Man.
I bet you they had the slow-mo camera going. That's all the rage now. Get my Mindy. Do another Mindy with these guys. No, I mean, you go to Hollywood Boulevard. There's no trouble. What is it there? What is it with... Okay, people, see the common thread here? It's obvious. Everybody who's ever been drunk whatever repressed angers you have, they're going to come out. You're going to flip out. You do stupid things. You don't have your awareness. You don't want to be walking the streets. If you're walking the streets in New York City drunk, you sure as hell better have some money in your pocket to get a cab.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as though, you know, the common thread is the alcohol, and it kind of means that if you get drunk enough, you'll try and fight Batman. That's just ridiculous.
You can't fight Batman.
You can't fight Batman.
No, and you see his badass car. I mean, he's got some badass. That's going to be a real one. Batman, Superman. Oh, that's one for the ages.
I might write it. We could write it together.
Yeah, right. I could see that. We're going to do it. You won't show up. Or if you do, you'll wear a costume. She'll be looking like, I don't know. I don't know what the, who's that? Oh, Lois Lane. You could do Lois Lane.
I could be Lois.
You could be Lois.
Especially after a few Bloody Marys.
Yeah, go on one of your dates. Come after a date. Well, go in the morning because I like to do that matinee.
I swear I'll turn up next time. I will.
A breakfast date. Or better yet, go out the night before and roll it into the diner. You know, the diner date where you're home at 6 in the morning.
Oh, I really like that. I like that's one of my favorite things about living in the United States is diners. I love diners.
I love diners. Yeah. I grew up on diners. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
Anybody
you did.
Back in Jersey?
Of course you did.
Back in Jersey in the 70s. Ooh, 60s. Ooh, I was young then. But
ooh, 60s.
No, but I was going to diners and... I've been going to diners, Broad Street, all sorts of, well, we know.
Have you got a favorite diner in New York that you could give a shout out to?
There's, the Gracie Muse. I lived across the street from the Gracie Muse Diner. I wonder if it's still there on 81st and 1st. So I went there. I lived right across the street for 12 years or 10 years. So that was, I guess that has to be my favorite.
Has because to be favorite.
It was, oh, yeah.
I was at a diner on Friday.
Had a lot of mini affairs in that diner.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's easy to meet at the diner.
What's a mini affair?
What's a mini affair?
What does it consist of?
Well, I would say it wouldn't last very long, but you'd sort of use the diner as the kind of meeting place / segue into the apartment. Those are my bad boy days where you didn't even wait for the second date. You just tried to get
it. So the diner's the waiting room.
Oh, the diner's, exactly.
Yeah.
And you're not kind of taking them out for dinner. Okay, now in New York, of course, it didn't matter. You would take them wine and dine them, but maybe I did take them out the night before, maybe two nights before, spent a great night. And then you sort of say, hey, why don't you come by a diner? And then, boom, you're right in the apartment.
The diner is
forget about it. It's a slippery slope. Back in the day, you hang me in the diner, forget about it.
I don't think that's you're getting me back to your apartment from a diner.
No, forget about it. I'm retired. Those were back in the days. Nah, those days
He's
are over.
Hung up his diner boots.
No, but the diner here is the Cafe 101. That was
I love Cafe 101. Yeah. I actually went to I have a thing about visiting a different diner. Each time I go to a diner, I kind of want to get my way around Los Angeles and, find my favorite one. I went to Paddy's in Toluca Lake on Friday.
Of course.
Yeah, it was great.
Paddy's.
It was really good.
Paddy's is good.
Yeah.
No doubt. That little stretch right there, that little Toluca Lake downtown is really cute.
Really cute. It's not some place in Los Angeles that I would think to visit, but just randomly.
No, it's very family, upscale. It's really nice, really quaint.
Yeah,
it's
I like
right
it.
Near the studios.
So, thanks, Paddy's.
There you go, Paddy's.
For my
they have a little corner. It kind of comes through a corner. You can sit outside. Oh, yeah. I know my spots. How about Santa Monica? Have you been to any? I mean, you've been to Swingers, right? Everybody's been where they made them. Yeah, of course.
Of course.
I live right there across the street, right around the corner.
I love Swingers. I love the, it's like the peanut butter milkshake or something.
Yeah,
I don't drink milkshakes anymore.
You don't drink milkshakes? Oh, no. Right, you're a healthy person.
Of course, I am. I try to be.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You have to.
Except for.
You're part of this show. You have no choice. Aside from missing the movies on Sunday.
Yeah, Rich makes me do sit-ups before we start.
I do. I make her work out because it's gonna grill. So let's move it into speaking of drunk because this is another one of these. This makes no sense whatsoever.
Just add it to the list.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, what the hell are they thinking? 35-year-old guy. Here we go, people. Remember all these ages, 24 to who knows? 35-year-old William Duffy. He was at a Pennsylvania bar. It's called Mount Jouet. It's back 110 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, so pretty far out there. I've been to Pittsburgh. Mountain Inn Bar, okay? This guy breaks in through a window, and then he's found, the cops find him, he's passed out napping on a table in the kitchen. Another one of these bozos who breaks in, the bar owner reported somebody loitering and, rustling around at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they find this guy passed out.
Maybe he wasn't drunk, Rich. Maybe he was stoned. He was stoned. And dozing for some nachos.
He's looking for nachos, and he's in the kitchen of a bar. What are these people thinking? I guess he's thinking, well, tomorrow it's going to be not opening till noon, so I could sleep it off and no one's going to know that I'm here.
Oh, he just ate and he was full and like went into food.
Like a bear.
Yeah.
Like the bear, the papa bear, or the middle bear, or whatever. This guy's a loser bear. Talk about losers. Here's another loser, bank robber. Here, look at this guy. He's got to really get his shit together. In Merced, closer to home here, Yasmin, Merced, California. Now, quote unquote, this is why the guy did it. I got to tell you why he did it first off. To visit his mother in Colorado.
If by mother you mean marijuana, then yes.
Exactly. He's going to visit a big field of mothers in Colorado. Sean Lee Canfield, check this out. 25-year-old guy walks into a Chase Bank. Chase Bank, okay. What's he thinking? This is some, you know, bozo bank from the 1900s. You know, early. This guy's crazy. Hands a teller a card, like he's James Bond over there, demanding cash.
Is this do we know if it was a printed business card or did he?
Yeah, I wonder. It didn't even say. I bet you had the word spelled wrong. You know, it probably spelled cash wrong, this jackass.
With a K.
All right, $2,748 she gives the guy. Well, what would you do? You're the teller. You're instructed. It's probably marked cards. You got cameras all over the place.
This is guy, what I mean. Just give them the money.
Yeah, and here's what's interesting. So he runs. He grabs the money. He runs with the money, okay? But it's pretty – and now on his face, you should see a picture of this guy. It's very descriptive. He's got facial tattoos. He's got full neck tats. I mean, the guy looks like he's not wearing a mask, but
maybe
I guess,
he thought the tattoos would work as a
I
mask.
Guess he did. I mean, what the hell is this guy thinking? And the police catch up with this guy, right? And now they finally come up on him. He looks like he's shoving money into his pants. So he's all jammed in, probably pants hanging around his ankles. I don't know. I didn't see that picture. But nonetheless, they take him in for questioning. And he's as he's going up the stairs, he's dropping. $2,414 falls out.
Just falling out.
Falls out of his pants. And he sits down. He gets up again. The rest, $334. The guy, all of his money, loose, comes out of his pants and he confesses to it.
So what you're telling me is the guy had the forethought to get a business card that says I'm robbing you, but he didn't get a bag to carry the money.
Bozo. Didn't get a bag. I mean, he put a bag over his head. Should have put a bag over his head and then taken it off, saying, no, I still got the tattoos, so he can't recognize me in the 15,000 cameras all over. What the hell's he thinking? You run out the door, she presses the number. I don't know, people. I mean, the good news is I guess the guy wasn't brandishing a gun. I mean, that would be horrible. But what the hell are you thinking? You know, there's people, drunk people breaking into other people's establishments. You got people robbing Chase Banks. I mean, talk about robbery. How about this? This is the little, I mean, I was in the real estate business, so this is interesting. They're calling it the hard hat thieves. Jacksonville, Florida. Let's not forget, I played baseball in Jacksonville, Florida. Really enjoyed University of Jacksonville, Florida. Played right on the... Had some fun stories there. Ooh, there's some, oh my God, I don't even want to get into it. There's some stories there from my memoir there, from that trip.
Really?
Trouble in Tampa, I think the name of that chapter is. Yeah, anybody check it out, my memoir. Memoir's on the website. You can find me, richtola.com. You
Rich
know the
drill. Rich Tola, Trouble in Tampa.
Trouble in Tampa. Ah, oh, there's so many. There's 16, you know, there's 69 chapters in that book there, Yasmin.
69,
Rich. 69, appropriately labeled, really cool titles.
Appropriately
late. Yeah, appropriate, because I guess they're all appropriate for what the hell was going on in that that time of my life. But let's talk about the hard hat guys, because I don't know what this is kind of funny. And I wonder if they find these guys. Maybe not. Jacksonville, Florida, outside of Synovus Bank, an industrial-sized forklift weighing 10,000 pounds was taken from a construction site on Monday and then driven a half a mile to the bank where they used it to rob the drive-through ATM. I mean, they kind of just mash right through it. The forklift is
they
embedded.
They just jammed into the...
Yeah, I guess they were thinking, let's boom, jam it through, and then lift it up.
Right. And so then, it wasn't a standalone one. It was one in the wall.
It wasn't one in the wall. It was the one, it was like the drive-through one, so it had the pillars next to it, and it was sort of between.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, there was nothing anchored behind it. But matter of fact, we just... Well, check this out. The forklift's worth $135,000. No damage to that.
Should have just taken the forklift.
I know. Let's hawk the forklift. Because what they thinking? Half a mile. This is like, the guys know what they're doing. You know, first of all, I've
so
driven
a
forklift.
The forklift half a mile to the bank.
Correct. And then they try
no
to,
one, no
and like, no one's going to say, weird. Why is this forklift trying to ram through the A10? They're trying to break it open, I guess, for the money to come out. No money was lost, and now they're dusting for fingerprints. But the interesting thing is, last month, a group of thieves, used a forklift similar at Fayetteville, Georgia. So, you know, and a couple others. So it looks like there's a couple of forklift guys. You definitely have to know how to drive one of those things.
I'm still just not sure why they didn't take the forklift. It doesn't
probably
make any
figured
sense
the
to me.
Local pawn shop was probably closed at the moment. That was probably their reason. I can't pawn this. I mean, let's pawn it. Well, let's not leave our fingertips. You know, that's another thing. I don't know if they're giving a lot of fingertips these construction sites. So where right. these guys, unless they're in the database. I mean, I was on Wall Street, so I had to give my fingertips a few times, but fingerprints.
I think actually every single person that's in the United States of America, we have.
We're on file.
Yeah, if you have a driver's license or if you've entered the country, like when every time I come and go.
You're on file. Well, then they'll find these guys then. Well, unless they don't. Well, if the guys are smart, they're wearing their gloves. No kidding. They're
smart.
Real. Hey, they probably wore the costumes like, you know, the village people. They dressed up as construction guys. Hopefully they weren't wearing those those wife beaters.
But or the chaps.
The chaps, yeah, maybe they were all dressed up in garb and looking like they knew what the hell they were doing with the red flags. They probably did. Hey, these guys are pretty. Well, I don't know. Based on the bozos that we see trying to rob money, yeah, the guy not wearing stuffing money in his pants. But let's get to the Get Your Shit Together Award. This is always a doozy. This one clearly is a doozy. This guy, what the hell are they going to do with this guy? I wouldn't even know. Yasmin, when you hear this one, I don't know if you're going to have a clue as to what the hell they do with this guy. All right. Reading, Pennsylvania. Now, this took place on 9/11, a couple of days later now, right? But he's the clear-cut winner. You know what this is, folks? Every day we give out the Get Your Shit Together Award to the person who's got to really get it together in life. We did a 30-episode podcast called GYST, G-Y-S-T, right? That acronym, Get Your Shit Together. Here we go. Police say they arrested a man after finding him passed out again in a parked car with two children, small children, ages 5 and 6, and 3 homemade bombs.
Seriously?
Yeah. Size of baby food jar bombs. What the hell? This is a 28-year-old guy. Now it gets worse or more interesting.
I'm not sure.
How worse can it be? Yeah. James Zwali was found, okay? This is outside a convenience store. Passed out, the Exeter Township Police, a concerned passerby called, and this guy, check it out, was parked right next to a rack of propane tanks.
James, you are winning at life, mate. You are absolutely winning at
life. Look at this guy. He's got 2 kids, small kids. He's got 3 bombs. He's next to a rack of propane. And what the hell is he thinking? He's like Schwarzenegger in the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, buddy. What the hell are you thinking? Now they're charging this guy with possessing weapons of mass destruction, because that's clearly, and risking a catastrophe, which another will not, and DUI. Okay, so here he is. He's wasted. He's totally insane. He's got custody of 2 small kids. What the hell is he doing with 2 small kids in a car? I mean, this guy's really got to get his shit together.
Yeah, well, I hope that the Justice Department got their shit together and took those kids and got them out of there.
I mean, what's this guy doing with these? It's like interesting, you know, you got to say to yourself, and then if it's a situation where the mom, if it's a negative situation where these kids are being affected.
It's just insane to me. Bombs, guns, and all of this mixed with drinking. Because, of course, you would think that if you're going to work with heavy artillery or anything that is, you
get
know,
wasted.
Sensitive, get wasted.
Get wasted.
Get high. Do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Stupid. It's so stupid. James, just
James disappear. Wally. Clear-cut winner of the Get Your Shit Together Award.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. There's nothing more we could say there, yep. Jackass. And you know what? I will say this whole, the 9/11. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm not saying this whole bomb thing might be connected to anything, but here's a guy with jars of bombs.
They're on bars. 9/11.
On 9/11. So
maybe it was his way of remembering.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Crazy. Hey, so if you're listening, right, especially the younger folks out there, it's all about like what not to do.
Yeah.
What not to do, but we're going to move into a feel-good category because this movie, the movie that you did not see.
The movie that I did not see, but I'm very much looking forward to hearing about
and
it.
And this is the first time she's hearing about it. She didn't hear my thoughts on this. No, we did not discuss this in homeroom. Homeroom, we did not discuss this because the student needs to be prepared with her homework.
It was my punishment.
Her punishment.
He wouldn't talk to me about it.
So now she has to go on the fly here. Mm.
That's first, why I have the iPad in front of me.
That's right. You better look it up real quick. I know it's working in this room. This is director Dustin Marcellino. Now, you know, this movie, we're going to talk about The Identical. What's it about? It was released on September 5th, 2014. Says it was made for $12 million. Opening weekend did $1.6 million. Most people haven't even heard of this. I did. I called my mother the other day because this is about, well, Elvis. I'm going to throw that name right out there. Let's get started.
The King.
The King. And he's called The Dream. So there's no question this is really kind of like an Elvis story, right? They say it's a faith-based God movie. I wasn't, you know, there's no question there's God in it and there's faith. It's not like Soul Surfer. Remember Soul Surfer from 2011, Bethany Hamilton? I mean, that was a more faith-based film from my perspective, but that's what they're calling it. I saw a couple of interviews. It's about two twin brothers who unknowingly are separated at birth, and they become, well, one of them becomes an iconic rock star. He's like Elvis, okay?
Right.
Yeah, Drexel Hemsley. And the other one, they're kind of identical twins. So the other one becomes, and we'll learn why, it's the son of a preacher, a PK, preacher's kid, they call him. And he struggles to follow his calling. And he struggles with that because his father, played by Ray Liotta, who is also the executive producer, which is interesting to see Ray Liotta in this role because...
Ray Liotta's so good.
Ray Liotta's awesome, right?
So
but
good.
You sort of identify him with the mob movies, right? You sort of identify him with sort of like he's got that badass side to him or, well, look at all his movies. This is more about finding and following your dream, which coincides with the name of, right? This guy is called The Dream. But let's talk more about it. Ray Liotta. He's the preacher, Reese Wade, pretty cool name. And how he gets in possession, not going to get too far into it with you, but he kind of covers a couple different decades. We see it back in the 30s when the kids are born, and the mom, Amanda Cruz, she does a really good job. I will say here, Yasmin, the women rocked it in this film. I am going to say.
So you've got Amanda Cruz, Ashley Judd, who I love.
Oh, you got Amanda Crew, you got Ashley Judd. I mean, who'd I think where are we looking at here? No, the whole film to me was about the women and Erin Cottrell. Oh, Erin, I'm giving a shout out to Erin because I really, first of all, she's been around since 2000. She plays, and the guy's played by Blake Rain. Blake Rain, who plays several different characters. He's Ryan Wade, the preacher's son. He's Drexel Hemsley. He's also Dexter Hemsley. He kind of, this guy is an Elvis impersonator. It's his first role. I mean, we'll talk more about him. Ryan Pelton is his name, and he took the name Blake Rain. He won an Elvis competition in 1998, Columbus, Ohio, but he took this name because he was a big fan of Batman and Bruce Wayne, so he named him Blake Rain as his impersonator persona. No shit. He's an Elvis impersonator. He competed. He prepared for 1 week. I mean, first of all, this guy is an amazing-looking guy. He looks like Elvis. It's totally all... I mean, there's a little cheese factor, I will say. But like you said, Ashley Judd, she does an amazing job. Erin, great job. Like I said, Erin's been around for a while, but this is a good role for her. Would love to have seen... I will say, from a negative perspective, you don't see a lot of colors. And when I say colors of the rainbow, you folks know what I'm talking about, you actors out there, because this is a feel-good movie. It's a PG movie. It's love all around. There's not a lot of dysfunctionality. There's some bad things that happen, sad things that happen, and it's a tearjerker, no doubt, okay? On several occasions, I'm talking, there's not a dry eye in the place, three or four different occasions, which is, you know, unusual, I think, to have that many where you're just like, wow, you feel it. And, you know, Blake does a real good job. A couple of these scenes, the sound, I love his voice. Blake's got the voice. He sings. I mean, he's good. Joe Pantoliano, you know, he's in there. Seth Green's in there. again, the Ray Liotta, he, you know, what he doesn't, you don't see him. Remember Footloose?
Of course.
I mean, yeah, the preacher. There was a little more antagonism there, and I would say, heightened energy than there is in this film.
Well,
this
what
is
you're
more
looking
love.
At, too, is that it's casting. Casting's such an interesting thing because, you know, you find that a lot of casting directors are wanting to cast people in films. Obviously, the more names you get in your film, the more people are going to go and see it. However, sometimes having a name, and I think that was something that was brought up recently by the casting director of Orange is the New Black. Sometimes the names aren't important. I really believe that it's about getting the person that's right for the role, having a great script, and people will go see it anyway. So sometimes, I don't know, do you feel like the Ray Liotta, maybe he might have been miscast, do you think?
No, I wouldn't say he was miscast. I would say that this is a challenging role for him to hold it all inside. Okay, he has a loving relationship. This is a preacher. He's not a screwed up preacher. The right. guy's got his shit together, and he really does want to help people. He's intense and he's passionate, and he ends up raising the child who he dedicates to God, which there is a reference to God in there, folks. To me, this movie's all about it. Whether it's God, the universe, whatever you believe in, you're going to like this movie. I mean, I'm giving this movie two thumbs up. Let's just get
two
that
thumbs.
Out there. Yeah, I'm giving it two thumbs. Right. I mean, you guys know, November Man, we had a thumb and a half. Begin Again, we had two thumbs. This, the music, oh, I'm telling you, the music, again, another film like last week, Begin Again was about the music. It's about the music, and Blake, he's perfectly cast, because it's really this whole Elvis thing, and it's really cool to see him as the Elvis persona in this, the brother, because he has to play both, and the brothers are separated, and there's something about identical twins, no doubt, that they feel at least they're connected, right? They're from the same fertilized egg, right? That's how identical twins are formed, that's split, and... But I, you know, here's a couple things I want to say about this. This film speaks to the child in you. It speaks to the mother. It speaks to the father in you. It speaks to hopes, desires of like everyone. Of kind of, you want to sort of see what's right in this film. You want to see it happen. You want to see it unfold. And it's not like people are screaming and yelling. And but here's a guy that sort of raised by the preacher. Preacher wants him to follow his lead into that world. But from identical perspectives, and they said this, tests were done where identical twins raised in a different environment. Remember trading places back mm-hmm. in the day? Well, the environment has a lot to do with it. So they might have similarities. So both of these guys had music in their soul. One of them goes on to be this sort of star, didn't know that his, you know, had a brother. But how it all comes together, there's some really, really good parts. You got the two brothers that were separated, so you have that sort of familiar bond that's kind of like, does it ever come back? And you want to see resolution in this film.
Of course.
Yeah, you want to see resolution, you want to feel good, the music, and I'll tell you, like I said with Erin had the role where she's the loving wife. Now, it's like, how could, and I will say, it's
the woman behind the man.
The woman behind the man and how he had to win her over. It was really, I mean, there's some really good moments now. And now he's on the road. Here's another thing. Most films, because it's a PG film, folks, and we're talking, it's all about feel good. And it's competing out there with Dolphin Tale 2. I mean, I was looking at, there's a handful of PG films out there. This is PG-13. This is PG. So you're not going to get that dysfunctionality, right? Which I like. They're not showing to the public how screwed up families are.
Well, it's nice for a change to see something positive on screen. You know, I'm kind of getting sick of going to the cinema and seeing things that I walk out heartbroken about the state of society. It's nice to walk in and you know what you're going to get. You know, you're going to see a struggle and then you get to the end and it's a happy ending and everyone walks out feeling good. I think it's a good thing. It's positive.
It always, and that's what happens here. That's what happens here. I mean, you can kind of beat up on it a little bit. I mean, is it going to win awards and go there? Well, because we talk about the colors, you know, you're not seeing the negative side of people. You're not seeing the nasty side. But here's a guy who's got to turn his back on conventionality. I did a podcast, right, for those of you with the Get Your Shit Together, episode number 9. It's called Buck Conventionality, right? And that's about how just because this is what your family says you should do, doesn't mean that that's your passion. I mean, look at, well, Yasmin, you're in the same category. You came mm-hmm. to this town. When'd you come here?
I've been here for 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. Been here almost about 8 years now. Yeah, 5 years into it. So you come here, you were superstar over there probably, you know, you were rocking it over there.
I don't know about all that, but yeah, I mean, I was busier.
You're busier.
Yeah.
You come here, dreams, everybody's got the dream or whatever their dream is independent, right? Everybody comes here for different reasons. Those are coming and passing through L.A., following what's passionate about, right? You followed your passion.
Absolutely. I think that I don't have any time in life for lukewarm emotions. You know, it's a waste of time. Don't do anything you're not passionate about. That's from me to you. That's my advice.
Well, and if you are, it doesn't mean it's the end of the line. That's what this movie shows you. It's not about, hey, just because you're miscast, and this guy was a couple of times, right? Blake, he does a good job as Ryan Wade, the dutiful son who really wants to please, you know, he's really into the pleasing world. But, as it turns out, he does have the fortitude, and his wife, Jenny, who Erin plays, does a good job of just supporting him. And that's what else I liked about it. Here's a woman who's like, I'm there for you. Go, go, go. And she encourages him. And said that a lot of this film, the path of the actor, Blake Rain, is similar to the identical, right? They said it was sort of like he sort of followed this where, you know, he applied in 1998, next thing you know. But it's really good, I'll tell you. The music, I'm really thinking.
For audiences, I don't know if you know about this, Rich, but if you go to theidenticalmovie.com, you can actually watch the first 15 minutes of the movie for free. Because it says mainstream critics did not care for The Identical, while Christian reviewers and audiences love the movie. We're putting the first 15 minutes online to let you decide for yourself. That's pretty rad. You can just go check out the first 15 minutes and see if you want to go commit to the theater.
I will say that the critics did beat it up. Okay, look, this isn't Beaches. This isn't the movie. This isn't like, you know, here. No, there's. I'm telling you, there's some several really touching scenes, both between men and women, men and men. I mean, some really good scenes. Again, you're not seeing wildness. You're not seeing all across the board. The music is ultra good. I definitely believe that. I love Elvis. I mean, hey, in the last chapter of my memoir is called My Way, because I remember Elvis, and it takes place. You see this guy, 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You see the style change. Anyway, there you go. The Identical, giving it two thumbs up. Congrats, kudos to the actors. I want to see more of you, Aaron, especially Blake. You guys are rocking it. Of course, Ray Liotta, Ashley Judd. Go see the movie. I'm going to see it again.
I'll come with you next time.
You're going to come with me? Yeah, sure. There you go. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. But on that note, let's move into our health and fitness tip of the day. Wow, do you see how quick these shows go now, Yasmin? You and I are just rocking it out. Health and fitness tip of the day. I like to do this every day because I want to leave you with a little bit of knowledge. You could do it on your own. Always talk about working out every day. Anything, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I got these 5-minute fat burning workouts on the internet. So go check out number 89 if you get a chance on YouTube. It's our channel, Boulevard Zen. You could spell that out, Boulevard Zen. And it's called Chair Legs because this one's called Chair Pose Against the Wall. Here's the tip. You could do this every day. I recommend doing 3 to 5 sets of these. You know what a set is. Just do one, take a break, do another one. I could do 5 of these. The Sanskrit word, to use a yoga term, it's called Utkatasana. That's called chair pose. Well, here's what you do. You do it up against the wall. So imagine you're in a chair pose up against the wall. So your back is flush to the wall. Your sacrum, those 5 fused vertebrae at the base of your spine, you're going to press that. So imagine pressing your entire spine from the back of your head. Now, how do you position your feet? Because we always talk about fundamentally sound from the ground up. So your feet are at right angles, your knees are at right angles. So think right angles, your legs, your thighs are right angles to your torso, boom. And the arms are outstretched to right angles. So if every single part of your body with your chin is at right angles, you're going to be pressing into the wall like you are a chair. And that's going to give you some stability. You're going to hold that pose. It's really simple. Reach out through your crown like you're going to try to touch the ceiling with your crown. Relax through the shoulders. Right? And now you're going to soften into this pose. And when you need to take a break, because those legs are going to fire up really good, really quick, go with your fingertips. What I do is I put my fingertips right next to my butt, kind of lift your butt off the wall, and then raise it so you kind of sit back so the feet, the legs are now at 45-degree angles. So you're straightening your knees, coming into 45 degrees. Take a little break. You could fold forward. That's called Uttanasana, forward bend. Just take a little break. Boom, come right into your second set. Really simple, people. Fires up your legs, fires up your butt, fires up your thighs, gives you a nice fat burn for quick little 3 to 5 sets. I mean, what do you think, Yasmin? Sounds awesome, right?
Sounds painful, Rich.
Nothing is painful. It's not painful. It's easy. Well, it's kind of like challenging. When you feel this pose, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it every part of your body because you are fired up. And when you reach the hands forward, you're engaging the shoulders. If you want to go a little more challenging, go into a steeple grip and go over your head. That gets a little more tough to keep that back flat against the wall, but you can do it. So health and fitness tip of the day, chair pose against the wall. Need a little help with that? Go check out my 5-minute fat burning workout number 89, which is chair legs. Explains it all for you. It does it with you. Wow, that was a good one. I really like that. But since Yasmin is here, she gets to experience the Fast 5.
What?
Yes, you do. You hear it every day. We work on this. Come on. You got to do it. We got to learn more about you.
All right.
All right. I hope you don't remember them. Maybe you do.
Of course I remember them.
Of course.
It's my job, Rich.
I know. Here we go. Yasmin's doing the Fast 5. Yasmin, number 1, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
vanilla.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
No.
Absolutely.
You're vanilla. Oh my.
I'm 100% wow. vanilla. Most of my life, when I was, you know, up until my teenage years, I was chocolate all the way. It's oh chocolate milkshake, God. Blah, blah, blah. And then something just clicked in me and I realized vanilla, simple is better. Mm. Vanilla bean.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that without a doubt. Now, this one I think I have to guess. Number two, Tropical Island or New York City?
New York City.
What? I'm over two. I'm thinking Tropical Island. Really?
Yeah, I like to surprise
oh
people.
Oh, my God. Number three, Ancient Rome or the Wild West? I'm not guessing.
Ancient Rome, absolutely.
All right. That one I could see. I could totally see it. Number four, Tearjerker or Action Thriller?
I know that it might be surprising because I'm a black belt, but Tearjerker, 100%.
I know. Oh, well, then you got to see this movie. You got to see The Identical. You do.
You I don't set me get, up for that one.
I'm setting you up. There you go. You missed it, though. You got to get whoever's taking you out to that your next date. Number five here. Let's go to the last one. Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Picnic in the Park.
Oh, she's rocking it. Picnic in the Park, because you're going to be singing on the blanket, of course.
Yep.
Well, that was so much fun today, right, folks? Having my assistant producer, Yasmin, here in the studio, right, Yasmin? That was cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Goes
fun.
Quick.
Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, we got to do it again sometime, definitely. And maybe we could, maybe we can get her to sing. I don't know.
It's really early in the morning.
It's too early in the morning. Well, hey, folks, thanks for listening again. You know who I am. I'm Rich Tola, and hey, dreams do come true, but what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.